Welcome to Combo Smite, the War Machine and Horde's Battle Report podcast brought to you by an Imperial Lackey, an overpowered Swan, and an angry Elf. Welcome to Combo Smite. This week's podcast is brought to you by Dapper Dan Pomade. Just because you're fighting off hordes of the undead doesn't mean your hair can't look fabulous. My name is Mark, I play Signar and Menoth, and I haven't had hair in years.
Liar!
I'm Nick, I play Retribution, and I've got a glorious mane.
I'm Aaron, I play Kador and Mercenaries, and I'm not going to say Convergence yet. And I also haven't had hair in a while.
It's like the worst intro I've ever done.
I miss haircuts.
I miss haircuts as well.
And Nick does have a great mane, especially his hairline is particularly pronounced.
It's like a crew cut.
And with us this week, once again, is our favorite mercenary co-host, Kasim.
Yeah, my name is Kasim, and I play Scorn and Retribution.
On a side note, how does Kasim keep getting on this fucking podcast?
I didn't want to tell you about the bribes, but it's bribes.
You see that fancy new car Mark was driving?
His fancy hatchback.
Yes, fancy hatchback. So this week saw Nick's Retribution going up against Kasim's Scorn. But before we get to that, news and announcements. Does anyone, Nick, have some news, Nick, that they would like to talk about, Nick?
Oh, you mean like the tier list apocalypse that just happened on the Privateer forums this week? My God. Someone released spoilers for this tier list that was going to be in the No Quarter for Kaelissa, and just there's some kind of rule snafu with the Privateer development team, and they basically released a tier list that would allow a Hydra to like pretty much kill any caster in like about 2/3 of the casters in the game bottom of turn one with if they were any less than 2 inches behind their opponent line. It's just silliness, completely bonkers and hilarious, and just the uproar on the forums was just hilarious. Just people just doom saying and just like I didn't understand why people didn't just see that it was just going to get fixed anyway. Like, right. It was obviously a mistake and it was going to get fixed, but just like, there's so much discussion about it that it just seemed absurd. Like, oh man, it was pretty hilarious. But anyway, they, just the very next day after the spoiler was released, they already had released a fix before the magazine even hit the streets. So that they changed the one wording of the rule to make it so it's no longer broken.
Yeah. It's still a pretty solid tier list, but.
Yeah, so we can actually discuss the list now. Basically, it allows, with Kaelissa, she can take just battle mages and battle mage, and like, so house shield units, which at the moment is just battle mages magisters and artificers. Yeah. And she can take, non-character shield jacks. Mm. Non-character jacks with force fields. So that includes Hyperion as well.
Nice.
And Arcanist, obviously. And the tier benefit gives Arcanist the ability to give jacks that already have focus, more focus. And it gives, the tier 3 benefit is bonkers. It lets you, it makes it so that your opponent's first turn, they cannot run or charge, which is just crazy.
Yes.
just crazy. Yeah. And the tier 4 benefit is you get a free Arcanist for every jack you take, which is pretty nuts as well.
Yeah, no, that's a great list.
It's got some pretty awesome benefits, but it's also like probably the most restrictive tier list I've ever seen. Like, I don't know if there's one that's worse. It just in that we can only take one unit and we can only take three solos.
Well, and not only that, but you have to take that one unit.
True. Yeah. You have to take it as well. I don't know if there is a more restrictive tier, because it's just crazy. And they are, and I think you could pretty safely say that battle mages are the single worst infantry unit in Rat. Now, I mean, like, not that they're bad. I love battle mages personally, but someone's gotta be the bottom. And who else would it be? I mean, heavy rifling doesn't count, not infantry.
Yeah.
And, dashers don't count. They're not infantry. So who else is there?
That's about it. No, it's a good point. There are other lists that are more restrictive in practice, but none of them that have to be as restrictive as Kaelissa's tier. Now, the trade-off is that this is now an incredible scenario, scenario list because
there's definitely some potential here. You know, basically the only way to do it is to jump run Jack heavy, and then you take some battle mages for support and stuff. But there's definitely some potential there, and I think it'd be fun because you know I like running lots of Jacks.
Yep.
And this is the first list that really lets you do that. I mean, people are going to say Evirus Griffin spam, but that's kind of a different thing because all it lets you do is run a whole bunch of Griffins easily because
right.
nothing else really works. And each Griffin still only gets two attacks because you can't fuel them with focus.
Well, you could argue for a P-Virus Manticore spam list that I think someone once ran.
But again, you can't fuel them, so it just doesn't work. You know what I mean? Whereas this is the first time there's been a ret list that you can run a shit ton of Jacks and you can actually have Jacks doing work. I think it seems like it might be fun. I'm definitely going to try the list out because I love battle mages anyway. So if there's a list forcing me to take them, that's fine with me. usually I try to play with stuff that's better, but if I have to take them, then you know they're twisting my rubber arm, so it's fine.
Fair enough.
Maybe Nick, explain what was so broken about the list for the people that haven't read.
So basically, someone came up with a list and posted it where you could take for the tier benefit. You had to have one unit of battle mages. You had to have an artificer. You had to have and you had to have two heavy jacks. I believe that's what the three.
I think you only need
and one. No, it's two heavy jacks for the tier four. So basically, with those things, you could take, so two heavies, you could take a shit ton of griffins, and you take the minimum amount of battle mages and other solos. And then what you end up with was, I believe it was 11 arcanists and a hydra. And then what you could do is first turn, you allocate three to the hydra. So the hydra gets up to 14 focus, and then it can fire now, like, 26 inches. So it's got 26, 26 inch range, 26 power. And so most people were complaining about this turn one thing where on turn one, the Hydra moves up six and it can fire 32 inches across the board. You know, it's completely bonkers. In that, you know, it's firing 2 inches into the deployment zone on turn one or whatever the math does. But it's, you know, just really, really far. And so basically if the enemy caster is like on the edge of their deployment zone, you can kill them in one shot first turn without them having a chance to do anything.
Yeah.
Which, you know, would be pretty broken. But what fewer people were talking about was the turn after that, where now he has 14 focus on him. Now you give him 11 more. And so now he can basically camp at the back corner of the table and be like, you know, after turn three, he's like power 50 and he's going to like one round. You know, he like one shot heavy jacks. Just like, you know, it's just someone really dropped the ball in this one.
Oh, forget
really
heavy jacks. It's dice plus 30 against a conquest. Like,
yeah, it's pretty nuts. So that obviously got eradicated. So basically what they did, they changed the reason why it was able to do that was because the ability of the Arcanist to give an additional focus to a Jack that already had focus was labeled as gain. And so it let you give focus above the allocation limit of three.
Right.
And so what they did is they just changed gain to allocate and problem solve.
Right. So now, instead of it being a completely broken list, it's just a very focused efficient list. Which.
Correct.
Not a bad thing at all. But
just, you know, just highly restrictive and, I think that you're not going to see this list in competitive play because too many people, and honestly, the reason isn't because it's good, it isn't because it's not good. The reason that you're not going to see it is because too many people remember the fact, or just remember for that sliver of time that there was the Hydra Death Star.
Hail Hydra!
And they're just going to be like, oh, it got nerfed, not going to play that tier. And so people aren't going to give it a chance.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay.
Battle report.
All right. So, this week, as I mentioned, Retribution versus Scorn. We're still practicing for an upcoming 35-point Steamroller tournament. The South Ontario Open, which is a Masters 50-point tournament, has a ancillary tournament called Youngbloods, which is 35 points, more a learning tournament than anything else. And since the group of us have only ever been to one or two tournaments, Kasima has only been to one, I've been to two, Nick and Aaron have both been to one, we figured, you know, weeding our way into the bigger tournaments was probably a better idea. So Kasim and Nick were both fielding 35-point lists that they're hoping to practice with for the tournament. Nick, why don't we start with you? What were you fielding and why?
Okay, so my two lists were a 35-point non-tier Griffin Spam E-Virus list.
Ooh.
So instead of going tier, I wanted to try it with other stuff. So I've actually pretty much only run him tier. I played him maybe once non-tier ever. And so I want to try some of this stuff. So I took him, with just Jax and, Evyros and I think, a Phoenix and like seven Griffins, but I had Lanissa in there as well.
Yeah.
to try to take advantage of that whole. It wasn't a phoenix. It was a sphinx. Seven griffins, Lanissa, and two Arcanists. That was the whole list.
Wow.
It was a very different build for me. I still haven't actually tried it out yet, but I do want to try it at some point because I think it has some potential. Just a little bit more focus efficiency with Lanissa in there, and the Sphinx's gun as well is to help her hit. So
very cool. But you decided not to go with that list, and you took.
My other list was an Ossian list, very familiar to me. I played it a million times at 35 points. It's Ossian, a Banshee, Max Halberdiers with UA, Max Rifleman with UA, Stormfalls, Ion and Holt, Houseguard Thane, and one Arcanist.
Before the Thane hit the field, what was that 2 points filled with?
This list didn't exist. this list would have had Mace Runner Strike Force instead of Rifleman in it.
Right.
And the 2 points, I don't know. You see, before I did this list, before the Thane came out, I actually didn't even have Iron and Hold. So this list was totally different.
Got it.
I'm pretty sure it was like double Stormfalls with Strike Force and maybe a Banshee and an AFG or something like that. It was way different.
Right. Well, now that you've played it, what would you change?
Nothing. I love this list.
Oh, excellent.
it's just, I've played a lot of games with the list and I've just kind of tweaked it a little bit. And, I think I have it exactly where I want it.
Nice. All right. Over to you, Kasim. So, what were the two lists you were thinking about fielding?
So I was taking a Xerxes tier 2 theme list.
Okay.
Basically a min and a max unit of Cetrati, a max unit of Incendiary, and a min unit of Arcuari.
Also known as Zounds, all the medium bases.
Oh my goodness.
All the cataphract.
Gather. And then I took a gladiator from my war beast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
Well, okay, that was the list you didn't play.
Yes.
That's the list I didn't play. That's the list I should have played. But I was like, let's put myself in a situation, try to make my other list work.
Okay.
So I brought my P. Morgul list, which was Morgul with a Mammoth, Cyclops Raider, and a Gladiator. He also had Aptimus Marketh as a caster attachment. For solos, I had a Willbreaker and a Extoller Soul Ward, a minimum unit of Pain Giver Beast Handlers, and that was pretty much it in the list.
Wow. It's a pretty unusual Morgul list, I think. I don't think I've ever seen you run a Mammoth with him before.
Always run a Mammoth.
Oh, crazy.
Actually, maybe not, but...
No, normally you run, Malik Karn.
Karn. Oh, yeah, that's my other list.
Yeah.
I wonder if I should bring that one, actually.
Well, in proper you fashion, I'm sure you're gonna bring a list of models you've never tried before.
Let's try it out.
Alright, so now that you've played the list, how do you like it?
It's still a good list, I think. Again, I'm still learning how to use it, but it's a pretty good list.
Anything you would change?
And this one, I think I'd leave it as is.
Cool. All right, so what was the scenario you guys were playing?
What was it, close quarters?
Close quarters. So two flags, one friendly, one enemy in the middle of the table, and also Killbox.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm sure Ozzy would love to see that.
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
Yep.
I don't think either of us was measuring them.
we weren't, but we were safe.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. And who won initiative?
Me.
And you decided to go
first.
Okay, cool. So tell me about your deployment, Kasim.
Well, I put the Mammoth towards my flag because I was like, he'll permanently contest it. Then I put the Gladiator over to the left, Morgul in the middle with Soul Ward and Aptimus Marketh. I wanted Marketh to basically put buffs on the Gladiator.
Makes sense.
And then I put the... Cyclops Raider to the right of the Mammoth, the far strike him. Willbreaker on that side too. And then I just put the Paingiver Beast Handlers in the back behind all the beasts, since they have like a command 8, so they can spread out quite a bit.
So for your 35 point list, this particular 35 point list, I think you have 9 models on the table. That's awesome.
Very stark contrast to my side of the board.
Yes. Speaking of which, Nick, how'd you deploy your troops?
So I deployed mine just in, rows, and basically in, each unit in a single rank, one in front of the other. So, in front, in the very middle of the board. So in the very front, I had my Huskard Halberdiers, and then, they had the Huskard Thane to their right, behind them were the Riflemen, and then behind them were the Stormfalls and Ion and Holt, just in a row. And then Ossian and the Banshee and the Arcanist went, just to the right of that whole prick.
opposite the gladiator.
Opposite my friendly flag, yes.
Yeah, and far away from the mammoth.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, well, Cassim, why don't you start us off?
Well, pretty much what I did was I wanted to move my army up as far as I could. So I started Marketh up with putting abuse on the gladiator. I had the gladiator run forward. Morg will put up abuse and rush on the mammoth. Then I had the mammoth run up towards the flag, towing into the forest for, you know, give him concealment. I then put the Cyclops Raider behind the mammoth and far strike him. I then advanced the Willbreaker up to ancillary attack the mammoth to get a shot farther up the field than I normally would be able to, mm-hmm. since I ran the mammoth.
Clever.
And then the beast handlers moved up. They healed some of the abuse damage on the mammoth. And, they shot the mammoth, took, like, it flopped the deviation, so it did nothing.
Wah, wah.
And I'm pretty sure you rolled 4 for that, so it just came straight back at you.
Yeah, it just came straight back at me. And the soulwort moved up too, and that was about it.
So, for those of you looking at the pictures, you'll note that relative to our normal table setup, this is a pretty barren table for terrain. There's a couple walls, a couple obstructions of forest. The goal was to make this as tournament viable as possible, so more what you'd see at a tournament rather than our usual choked terrain. But the net result is that, Nick, you don't really have a lot of things covering anything between you and the mammoth. Not that it would matter, because it's not going to hit you anyways.
You'll also notice that we did manage to sneak in just one big massive obstruction that is 8 inches across. Because, you know, nobody's perfect, right?
Yeah.
I'm liking this kind of table. This is fine. I got way more shooting, like accurate shooting than him. So, I'm happy with having nothing standing in the way of me hitting all his crap. So that's fine with me.
Very cool. So the mammoth's moved up. It has opened its first volley, but no casualties yet. So what's your plan?
I just want to move up the board and give him as much juicy targets as I can of the stuff that is not important.
Right.
So that's basically halberdiers.
Right.
Last time I played against this list with halberdiers, I ran them first turn, and then I ended up losing half of them to just random deviations, and I didn't like that. So instead, this time I took advantage of, you know, the ridiculous walking threat range of the halberdiers with the Houseguard Thane, and I just did their 11-inch I just walked in shield this turn, which was better for me.
Right.
I'll go through the whole thing. Ozzian goes first. He walks up, he puts Quicken on the Halberdiers, Shatterstorm on the Rifleman, just in case. I fear he's got a bunch of Beast Handlers and stuff I might be able to kill with that. But you never know. Mm-hmm. And then I put Admonition on the Banshee. The Arcanist gives focus to the Banshee. The Banshee runs up kind of just in front of Ozzian. Houseguard Thane moves up as well, puts Desperate Pace in the Halberdiers. Now the Halberdiers do their 11-inch shield wall move forward. I move them up in just pods of 2. That way I can get them more spread out and they still get the shield wall benefit. I mean, the downside is that if one of them dies, now the other guy is going to die easier, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
Because if you spread them out more, then it means fewer damage rolls he's going to get to roll.
Yeah,
guys. So anyway, that's what I did. Because Quicken actually could have moved in 13, but I forgot because I'm the best at this game.
Jesus Christ, 13 inch walks.
I know, it's just, it's completely fair and balanced. But actually, I don't know if I would have moved much further anyway, because I didn't want to get too much into the, I didn't want to get into the walking threat range of the gladiator. I at least wanted to have to buff it. Okay, so after the halberdiers went, the riflemen, they all ran up behind them. And they just kind of spread out to avoid being killed by, aliens stuff. And the Stormfalls did the same thing, although I kind of hadn't, because I was running out of room to actually space things, they didn't have much room to go, so they just kind of ran a little bit to the left, because I wanted them to be closer to the mammoth, when the time came.
Right.
But I couldn't get them up very far. They only actually moved up a couple inches, which is kind of bad.
Yeah.
And then Ion Holt's also run up. Holt runs forward to try to get some work out of his guns, and Ayana stays back by the fence.
Cool.
And that was my first turn. You know, I felt I was in a pretty good position, you know, getting up as far as I could like that and keep my stuff with shield wall up, so hopefully I wouldn't lose many halberdiers, and I guess we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So, Cassim, we're back over to your side. Nick has obligingly, and when I say filled, I mean filled the entire middle section of the board with elves. Like, I don't think you could put a 3-inch template down anywhere in his army and not hit at least one guy. No, like a 3-inch. I don't think you can put a 3-inch template anywhere and not hit at least one guy. So you're dropping these 4-inch pie plates of death. I imagine this was a turn where you got little accomplished.
Well, you know how Nick's an engineer, right?
Uh-oh.
And you know how his dad was a thief and, you know, stole the stars from the skies and put them in his eyes? But sure. In this case, he broke into my house and he rigged my dice. Let's just walk through this step by step, keeping that in mind.
For the record there, Cassim, I wasn't sure if you were cursing Nick or flirting with him, but let's go with this. So what happens?
I was like, yeah, so many tasty targets, you know. Let's start with my Cyclops and put some Farstrike on the Mammoth. And then he's in range of a Halberdier, so he took a shot and missed. No, he was actually out of range that turn.
Yeah, he was just out of range, yeah.
Okay.
Then I had the Willbreaker move up and Ancillary the Mammoth. It deviated onto four halberders, but it blasted in front of them, so they got their shield wall bonus.
Yeah.
And only one of them died.
Okay.
Then I activate the mammoth and took my three shots. I got some pretty bad deviations, and any models that I did clip got saved by shield wall.
Wow.
I think I hit maybe four or five models total.
Wow.
Yeah, you hit a lot of stuff.
I killed the standard. That was about it.
you killed one halberdier, one rifleman, and the halberdier standard as well.
And a standard, yeah. So okay. Three models I killed with four AoEs.
That's insane.
In a sea of dudes, like
yeah,
in a sea of dudes. If you're looking in the pictures, look how many guys are there.
It's just okay. That's impressive.
Each AoE probably hit like three or four guys. Anyway, yeah, it was good. You know, it all was good.
It depends on whose point of view you're then, I was like, okay, YOLO, Morgul moved up and abused the gladiator.
You're fat, no one will ever love you.
And then the beast handlers moved up, but had one of them enrage the gladiator and the, other whip, or they got them to whip off the fury from Mammoth.
Okay.
Had Marketh move up and put admonition on gladiator. And then Gladiator charged up on a couple halberdiers, and he misses his charge attack and both his initials.
Oh,
yeah, that was pretty sad. He had about I think you had like three halberdiers in your melee range.
Two or three, yeah.
Yeah,
I think two, yeah, because he doesn't have reach.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, so you only had two in your melee range, and it took you four attacks just to kill one dude.
Yeah.
So that was some bad dice, I gotta say.
That was awful.
Really bad.
You're hitting on sevens, I believe?
I'm at six, so yeah, sevens.
Yeah, so it was nine for the charge attack, but then sevens for the rest, and you just couldn't roll a seven to save his life.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Also, I like that in the pictures your gladiator is charging them with his butt.
Yeah, they call that the Titan Shuffle.
the Truffle Shuffle.
Yeah, just nuts. Okay.
That's it. That's my turn.
So, Nick, you have survived more or less unscathed relative to what was expected.
That turn could not have gone better. Not only did his mammoth fail to do anything I would call carnage, you know, right. it was a couple shots, killed a couple dudes. I fully expected that. I expected a lot worse, actually. Then he also decided he decided that he didn't like that gladiator and he didn't want it. And so he gave it to me. He's like, here, have a gladiator. I was like, okay. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what the plan was with that, but I decided that I wasn't going to turn him down on his offer of a free gladiator.
Basically, what I was doing there was I had admonition on. I was like, if the banshee charges him, I just walk away.
Right,
that's
right,
true.
But yeah. Then you can tell something him what else he did. Happened. Then something else happened.
Okay. So what happened this turn was I allocate three focused on banshee, and I upkeep admonition on the banshee and Shadowstorm on the rifleman. I let Quicken drop because I don't need it. So first thing I do is halberdiers get a charge order, and one of the guys that is not engaged in gladiator just kind of runs around behind him, to trigger, and I ask Caspi Wells to trigger admonition, which he does. And so he triggers admonition and he moves the gladiator just kind of 3 inches directly away from the banshee.
Makes sense.
I saw what was going to happen.
Yeah. I was fine with that because the Banshee was still well within threat range. Huh. And even if he wasn't, I could give him Quicken.
Right.
So then what happened is, six of the Halberdiers then charged in on the Mammoth, on the Gladiator, and then three of them I charged in on the Mammoth as well. So the six that charged the Gladiator, they split their attacks into two-man pods, which puts them at PS-16 on his armor 19, so dice minus 3, which is pretty decent. And they do some pretty decent damage to the Gladiator. And the guys on the Mammoth, they also do a 3-man CMA, and they do a little bit of damage, not a whole lot. Next, the Banshee, it gets concentrated power from the Arcanist, and then it charges in the Gladiator, and it actually... I think the charge attack killed it. So I end up marxing two folks on that thing because, you know, that sucks. I didn't think the Halberdiers would do so much.
We hit it so hard, yeah.
Yeah, it just, you know, they rolled pretty good. And then I rolled fire with the one Banshee charge attack as well and just, you know, took them out. Mm. So that was nice. After that, I considered this for a minute, whether or not it was the best turn or not to do this. But most of my stuff was going to be in range of the Mammoth, and I thought that if I waited, I would lose too much of it.
Right.
So I decided I wanted to feed this turn. So Ozzyan quickened himself and advanced toward the middle of the table. I had to quicken myself because 6 inches wouldn't get me close enough to get the Mammoth in. And so I did that, then I feeded, but nothing, and I measured my control, but there's nothing in range for me to shoot with Ozzyan, so I just didn't. The next thing, Ayana Holt went next. I wanted Ayana to move up and kiss the Mammoth, but she was just a hair out of range. It sucks just because I could have moved her up just a tiny bit more in the first turn.
She
would have been less safe, but then this would have been better. But anyway, too bad. So she doesn't get to kiss him. And Holt just shoots an F twice and actually hits twice, which is, you know, not too surprising in any Snake Eyes. And he actually damaged him twice, though, which is surprising.
Wow.
Yeah. He doesn't get the feast die because he's not a faction. But he actually damaged him with both attacks. One just did 4 damage. And he rolled boxcars for a second damage roll, which did, he got 1 damage the first shot, and he got 4 damage when he rolled boxcars on his
nice.
Second. Which is fun. Next, the Stormfalls moved up, and, I knew they were way too far back. I wasn't gonna get brutal shots, which is tragic.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll take 3d6 at dice minus, 6.
Eight?
Or at dice minus 8. So. Yeah. You know, it's still better than nothing. So they move up, they do snipe shots, they all hit, and they do some pretty good damage. And the riflemen move up, and I decide that I want to do, 2 5-man CRAs on the Mammoth. I just, in my head, do a quick calculation. I think that's the best thing to do. I haven't actually gone back and done the math to find out if that's correct, but, whatever. So I do that. The first shot did, 6 points of damage, and the second shot for the damage roll, I roll triple boxcars.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds great, but it still was only 11 damage. I'll take it.
Wow.
So yeah, that was pretty sweet. And I think that was my turn. That was all that I had. So basically, great turn for me. I'd used Ozzyan's feat. I'd killed the Gladiator without even needing it. And I put some serious damage on Mammoth. I don't think anything was crippled, but, it was a good start.
Very cool. All right, Kasim, you have lost one of your heavies. Your Mammoth has been taking a beating, and really, you don't have anything else on the table besides the Cyclops. So what's your plan for this turn?
Pretty much win. That's
the
motto.
So. That's a good plan. That's a good plan. All right, so how do you go about doing that?
So I kind of debated what I should do, and then I remembered the Banshee had admonition on it, so I was like, okay, first strike on the Mammoth again, and then I had the Cyclops get in range and try to shoot a Halberdier that was engaging the Mammoth, and... he missed and it randomized to the Mammoth, but it doesn't do a wound to him.
Oh, good.
The Wallbreaker moved up an ancillary attack the Mammoth. The AoE clipped one Halberdier and didn't kill it.
Is there a reason you didn't ancillary just a punch?
Well, I was like, if I put the Mammoth in melee, he would do nothing. Like, he'd get into melee range of the Banshee. The Banshee would move away.
No, sorry. For the Willbreaker's ancillary attack, you took an ancillary shot. Is there a reason you just didn't ancillary, like, pound one of the Halberdiers in front of you?
Because AoE can cover more models.
Fair enough. Okay.
So that happened. So then I activate the Mammoth, and it's like, no way I'm going to take him in the melee now. So I took a few shots. First shot scattered pretty far, and it hit 3 riflemen, 1 Stormfall.
Yeah, that was a good deviation, by the way. That was like, that you couldn't ask for better than that, really.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue that one. Too bad I didn't get, like, second turn. Second shot at, I shot at Hulth again. It missed, scattered nowhere. And then the third shot, I took a shot at a rifleman that was standing beside Hulth. And it killed
you
the rifleman.
You actually hit him. You actually rolled the 10, too. Which
wow.
Was like, I don't think you boosted either. You just managed to roll it, which is nice.
No, I just rolled it. Yeah. And then I boosted the damage against Hulth, I think.
Yes, you boosted that. He already had two on him from previous blast damage from another turn. But, yeah, you wanted to make sure he died, so he went down.
Hmm. Yeah. So, a few things died, but the rifleman and the, other halberdier caught in the blast survived.
Yeah, and that was just dice right there. I mean, I think you needed, was it seven skill? Seven to kill the rifleman, I think it was eight to kill the halb.
Right.
It's six to kill the rifleman.
Six and seven. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're kind of struggling to get even average dice today. It was a little bad.
Like, I was casting them. I remember this time last year.
We had a word for that.
The return of Casim's dice. All right.
I coined that word last year.
Yeah.
Then I had Morgul charge and he cut through a clump of halberders that were in front of the Banshee. Missed the charge attack, but, bought a bunch. He has the double strike.
Right.
So
every
Fury spends, he can get two attacks. And he just chewed through a few of them and sprinted over and popped his feet. And then I had Marketh move up, put Admonition on Morgul just in case. And the Beast Handlers moved up and whipped some Fury off the Cyclops. And that's my turn.
Cool.
So, what maybe wasn't clear from Custom's description was that, like, Morgul was, remember those Halberdiers had just, the Halberdiers and the Banshee together had killed that Gladiator. So they were, like, right side by side. And so Morgul had moved in and killed a bunch of the Halberdiers there. And so he was standing about a half inch away from my Banshee.
That seems safe. Seems safe.
Yeah. So that was, interesting.
I was like, can't touch this.
And so now I got Morgul right in my face. Can't spend any focus. It takes away some of the decisions I need to make this turn. What I end up doing is keeping my focus. And, what I want to do is I'm going to just ignore Morgul because Ozzyan is going to have all his focus on him. I don't think that Morgul can kill me, in a turn, without a lot of help. And there's nobody around to help him. Like it would, cause Ozzyan's like pretty safe right now.
Right.
So really what I want to do is just ignore Morgul and I want to try to kill that mammoth. So the first thing I do is Ayana moves up. This time she's definitely in range. She kisses the mammoth. That's sweet.
Cuties.
Aww.
Stormfalls activate next and they move up. Now they are definitely within brutal range. So they all fire brutal shots. They all hit. Now it's dice minus six with three dice, and they do some pretty sweet damage. I don't have the numbers, but it was good. It was so good, in fact, that the last three halberdiers that were engaging the mammoth, they do a three-man CRA, a CMA, and they finish him off. I had no idea he was that low at the time, because I wasn't really paying attention to casting marking the boxes, and I was just kind of putting my attacks in, because I figured I would need my entire army to finish that guy off. But it turned out that just those three halberdiers, I got a decent damage roll, and that... No, it actually wasn't even that good. I think I did 4 points of damage, and it was enough to kill him. So
wow.
That was pretty sweet. So now the mammoth is gone, and so Morgul is basically standing right in front of me, and his army is like 12 inches behind him. now that said, I don't think I can kill him. Like I don't believe I have any chance to kill him this turn, because he's just too hard to hit. Yeah. I'm pretty sure his Cyclops is probably out of his control range. So if I had been able to hit him, I might have actually killed him. But I didn't think of that at the time.
Right.
Anyway, so what I did was, I still had, like, the Banshee, Ozzyan, the House Guard, Rifleman, and some other stuff to activate. So the first thing I did was the Banshee backed away from Morgul to get out of melee. And he took a free strike, which actually didn't even damage him. Morgul rolled on it, and, the power 9 on armor 19, he didn't roll a 10, so done.
Fair enough.
And then Ozzyan aimed at, the Banshee shot at Morgul, and it missed, obviously. Mm. It also missed the halberdier engaging him. I mean, Morgul was like armor defense 21 in melee. My halberdier was defense 17, but in the back. But I still missed.
Right.
So after that, Ozzyan went. He aimed, shot at Morgul, missed as well. And I think we forgot the roll of my halberdier, but it probably wouldn't have mattered. Anyway. Really, it was just one less guy for you to kill next turn.
Well, yeah, it's not a big flop compared to you forgetting your other part of the feat.
Yeah, that was kind of a big deal. Oh,
we'll
yeah.
For that.
We didn't even mention that last turn.
We will. We will.
No, that it'll come up.
we actually totally forgot to mention that. During the last turn we just talked about, that turn when Kasim was killing all the shit I hold dear, every single one of those damage rolls should have been one fewer die, and which means that almost nothing would have died, which is sad for me. But anyway, back to the current turn. Ozzy named missed, the House Guard Thane, put Desperate Space on the Rifleman just because I didn't really have any reason to. And they just kind of moved up. And at this time, Morgul admonitioned. He just kind of moved towards my left side of the board. I think to get – probably the reason was to get closer to his Cyclops. I don't really know. But
probably.
And then what they did was – and so he engaged one of the riflemen so that he couldn't fire now. And so the remaining six, they did the remaining five, two of them, the leader and a dude, did a CRA onto Marketh but missed. And the other three did a CRA on Marketh and hit him and killed him. So that was pretty nice.
Nice.
And that was kind of bonus. Since the mammoth was dead, I didn't really have much I needed to do that turn. It was just kind of just clean up at that point.
Right.
But so that was my turn.
Cool. All right, Kasim, you are down two. Let me see here. Three beast handlers, a Cyclops, and Morgul. Not looking so rosy, but you probably still have a chance at this. What's your plan from here on it?
Well, I was kind of debating whether I should YOLO and charge Ozzyan for fun, because, you know, that's classic Kasim.
Yes, that's a good way to describe that tactic. Yes,
it certainly is.
But I was thinking, you know, if I'm actually playing a tournament, I should actually try to turn this around.
Right.
So, you know, I was a little bit more responsible this time. So I was like, I took a shot with the Cyclops. I moved him out of the woods and shot at a Halberdier, which killed it.
Right.
Worldbreaker did an ancillary attack on the Cyclops and killed the Rifleman. I had the Beast Handlers move up and engage a few of his models. Two of them attacked Halberdiers, and one of them hit, one of them missed, and they do an automatic point of damage, so he died. Right.
You actually killed two of them. Hmm. Yeah, two hit and one missed.
Oh, two hit and one missed, that's right. And the fourth one, he wasn't really engaging anything.
Yeah, he was too far back.
Yeah. I had the Soul Word move up, and he shot at a Rifleman, which killed.
Nice.
And Morgul did his thing. He Pac-Man through a few Riflemen and Ayana, and then sprinted off towards my zone.
Hmm.
And that was my turn.
Interesting.
I was sad to lose Ayana, but her job was done, so
yeah,
it was okay.
she's done her. You've gotten your mileage out of her. So yeah. Now we're back over to you, Nick. Morgul and his scant remaining troops are still kind of a threat, and your army is getting a little bit barren. Oh no, wait, you have a Banshee. You're fine. So what do you actually do this turn?
I don't know if I can kill him this turn, but I'm going to try. The unknown factor is just that defense 17 is really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Because even boosting, you know, with like Ozzyan's only I think rat 6 and my Banshee's rat 5, so I mean it's hard to hit that kind of thing with guns.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm gonna try for it. So I allocate 2 to the Banshee. I drop all my upkeeps. Ozzyan, I measure my control range and he's like just barely out of aiming range, which sucks.
Yes.
Because it would have been so nice to have that little extra insurance. But anyway, you know, I had to move up. So I moved up and I needed 11 to hit him on 3 dice. And I do. I get the 11. I think I rolled like exactly 11, which
nice.
Is hilarious. So the nice thing with that was Ozzyan has that bubble that goes up that puts -2 defense on everything in the bubble. So that's awesome. So now he's only defense 15.
Much more reasonable.
Much more reasonable. And it also does 9 damage to him, which he accepts. He doesn't transfer.
Cool.
Which is fine with me. The Banshee goes next, and he has to move up as well, even though his gun is a little bit longer range than Ozzyan. I don't want to risk it. So I move him up and, he needs a 10 to hit because of Ozzyan's bubble. And he also makes it, which is, you know, shocking for anyone that listens to our podcast. What? Making 2 rolls requiring average rolls in a row? That doesn't happen.
Insane.
But yeah, so I hit the 10. He ends up doing, I think, 13 damage, which gets transferred to the Cyclops. He's got almost nothing left now. I do the Stormfall's next. They both aim. Morgul's knocked down now as well. He gets knocked back 2 inches, which puts him in the forest. which now means he's defense 5 knockdown, but he has concealment. So that's sweet. Yeah. So now my storm falls, they can aim. So 7-on-7 is aiming snakes to hit. So, the first one hits, does a massive amount of damage that kills the Cyclops and puts another point back on Morgul. And the second shot, puts him in the dirt.
Very nice.
So victory.
He's retro. Already in the dirt. He's knocked down in the woods. Right.
Yeah. It pounds his skull further into the ground.
And makes sure that he stays in the dirt.
Yeah.
Looks like an ostrich.
Congratulations, Nick. Well played, well played.
Oh, so yeah, it's been a while since I've like won a game on the podcast, I believe. I think
it's been a while since you've won a game, period.
Yeah, fair enough.
let's not be too specific on that.
So yeah, it feels good to get a win in, and you know, this is probably one of my favorite lists. It just works pretty well. I'm sure it has bad matchups, there's no question. It doesn't like getting shot at.
If only you remember that you had a feat.
Yeah, about that.
You remembered part of it.
Yes, which is still 50% better than he does sometimes.
I used half of it amazingly. Actually, that's not true. But yeah, so that was the game. I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, all right, well, let's start with the rating. Why don't we start with you, Nick, and we'll start with a feat. Aaron, how do you feel about Nick's feat use?
Two is generous, sir.
Yeah.
Simply because utterly forgetting the second part. You used the first part pretty well.
I just...
Well, the feat we used was good. That's more...
Yeah. Like you had said, but you've forgotten it before. I mean, this isn't a new thing.
No.
You need some kind of, I don't know, like a halogen bulb that you can like a sign that just says feet and you turn it on.
Maybe like a little Wile E. Coyote sign that Ozzyan's holding that says feet with a question mark.
Yeah. So that... Yeah. Something that's really bright.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
All right, so Kasim, you're on the receiving end of it. How did you feel Nick's use of his feet was?
I forgot about that part of the feet too, because
you're a retribution player, man. You should know these things.
Well, usually you're not on the other side of a shooting army when we play retribution.
True.
I don't know. Like for me, that was more of a dirt because he forgot it. I forgot it too. It was a good feat use, especially if you remember that part. I'd say it was like a 3, because that would have completely shut me down. That would have forced me to go into immediately if we remembered that.
Right.
So that could even, if you remembered it, I'd say it was a 4, but.
Yes, I would agree with that.
3.
Nick, what do you think?
I definitely can't see any higher than a 2 for this. I don't know I forget what number you guys were pushing for, but just, I think that, forgetting the defensive portion is hilarious and typical of me. I always forget that defensive portion and it's so good. Yeah. That would have saved almost everything that died against the Mammoth. You know what I mean? At least would have made him have to boost everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would have been sweet. Sucks. I just forget it every time. Yeah. It's brutal. Even the offensive use, I don't know if that really was the best time to use it, honestly. Like, my number one hard hitting unit were the Stormfalls. And, they were so far out of range that I couldn't even take advantage of their brutal shots.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have one rounded him probably if they had been in range.
Yeah. I can see that.
But that doesn't necessarily have to do with your feet, because I think your reasoning for using the feet when you did is sound.
Yes.
That
you got more attacks.
If you didn't use it then, most of the units that did benefit from it were going to be dead on the next turn.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if Kasim had actually had a like multiple model army, if there was lots of stuff on the table, this was a very bad time to use the feet. No, other way around, sorry. If you had lots of models on the table, this was a good time to use the feet. Because you had lots of models of yours that could take shots of lots of his stuff. That makes sense. But because Kasim was fielding just the Mammoth and a couple other things, I'm kind of more in Nick's camp where I'm like, you really probably should have held on to it until you had your big guns, your Banshee and your Stormfalls within range to benefit from it. Because it's a big difference to get a couple, like even a handful of 4-die-6 is probably better than a lot of 3-die-6s that are low pow. But, you know, we're harping on it. I think a 2 is probably fine.
Yeah, 2 is good.
Yeah. All right, Kasim, how did you feel about Nick's tactics?
They're pretty good. Like, I mean, I didn't see that thing coming with the Gladiator where he was going to cage him in.
Yeah.
And prevent the admonition, so.
And, you know, I didn't even quite do it right, because that first one I moved, I could have actually moved him in such a way that you wouldn't have been able to move away from my Banshee at all. You would have had to have moved towards him, because just that one guy was really close to your base, so I could have moved the other guy around to the back in a way that you wouldn't have been able to move away at all, and that would have been better. But, I mean, yeah, it was still
Banshee pretty... still would have been in range either way, I think.
Yeah, you know, you couldn't have gotten out of his turret range.
No yeah. Way. So it wasn't a big, big thing.
Yeah.
I'd say it's pretty good tactically. I don't know, like, there's not really much you can do with that many troops, spacing them out and yeah. stuff, but, no, I'd say it's pretty sound.
Nick, how do you feel about your tactics?
Yeah, no, that was good. I mean, like, I'm getting really comfortable with this list, and so I think I play it better than most of my lists, so.
Fair enough. Aaron?
Yeah, I agree. Possibly moving the archers up, like your heavy hitters, like you said, for the feet, up a little bit closer, but then that's something you sort of have to have planned which turn you're going to use a feat.
Yeah.
And that's not impossible to do, though. I mean, like, you should have a good idea when that's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, well, and the archers and Iona both had the same problem, right?
Just yes.
Half an inch too far back.
Yeah, and the Iona one was just tragic. She was out by a cunt here. It was terrible.
I hate that line.
I just start saying pube.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's better, but okay, yes, okay.
Well, because pubes grow flat and head hair is round, so by the nature of it being flat, it's a better indicator.
We're going to stop this conversation right now.
This is, you know, like R-rated conversation.
Well, it's an R-rated podcast, but...
Is it? It is.
We have an adult content warning.
I could say all my racist jokes, then.
You normally do say all your racist jokes. Okay. I'm agreeing with all of you guys. I think it's a very solid tactical performance. One or two movements of brilliance in the sense that, you know, making sure that Kasim didn't get the admonition off was, you know, it was good. It's a kind of a, you have to be on your ball, on your game to do that. And Nick was, you know, nothing earth shatteringly awesome, but, you know, a solid 4, I think, is probably safe. Okay. Scenario. So Aaron, did you notice Nick at any point in time doing anything for his scenario?
Wait a minute. There's a scenario?
No, the objective or the flags. No objectives. Yeah, the objectives are just there for aesthetic purposes. Yeah,
this is what I call my Aussian blinders. Okay. The reason I did set up where I set up because I wanted to have the opportunity to dominate my friendly flag.
Right.
But other than that, it kind of went out the window.
Yes.
And mainly just because for some reason when I'm playing Aussian, I tune out the scenario and I just concentrate on murdering the enemy.
Yes, you do. I say that only because the last tournament we played, you played this modified Aussian list against me, and you killed a lot of my stuff, and I won 5-0 on scenario points. it wasn't even close.
Shockingly.
Okay, so I think scenario 2 is probably okay, because you didn't lose by scenario, but you weren't actively doing anything about it. It was just kind of, it was on the table.
It was just
I think probably a 2 is okay. Because I certainly was not attempting the scenario to do anything in the scenario at all. But Kasim wasn't either.
Yes. Kasim getting a 2 as well, just so we're clear.
Whatever twisted reason, I think that his lack of committal to the scenario actually makes mine higher, because I didn't have anything to respond to, therefore it's okay that I didn't.
Yeah, go for the scenario. That's fair.
I don't know, you had a mammoth contesting the flag you wanted to be in. Because I didn't specifically put him there to control my zone.
True. Yeah, Nick actually didn't even say anything about the scenario, at least Kasim said off the top of his turn 1 that he was going to contest with the mammoth.
He did mention the word scenario at some point during the battle.
Yes. Scenario was never mentioned again until now.
Okay.
And also this was Killbox, and I was looking at the pictures and I confirmed that we did stay out of the Killbox for the entire game.
Subconsciously.
That's only because we were so busy killing each other. so the game was basically just a coincidence. So
Nice. All right. So, Kasim, how did you feel about Nick's luck?
No.
Not your bad luck, his good luck.
Oh, his good luck. He was spiking rolls.
Yeah, no question.
It was definitely above average. There's no question.
Yeah. Boxcars on Holt and then, oh god. And then triple boxcars with that rifleman. Nick, do you think that the luck was game changing or was it just consistently good?
I don't believe it was game-changing. Okay. I was rolling well, but I mean, not rolling well, I still would have killed that gladiator. Not rolling well, I still would have killed that mammoth by the end of the third turn.
Right.
So, it wouldn't have actually, I don't think it would have changed the game. It just would have made it be more stressful.
Fair enough. Okay, so how about time use, Nick? How did you feel about your time performance?
Really well, actually, because I was playing 30 dudes. We were using 8-minute time turns, just to kind of ease into the 7-minute time turns that the tournament
is. Which are brutal!
Yeah, they are awful. I did not run out of time. Well, I mean, on feet turn, I used my extension, I did not even really come close to running out of time on any of my turns. So I was doing very well.
So the question is it a 5 because you never went over, or is it a 4 because you gave yourself an extra minute every turn?
I'd go with a 4 on that one.
All right. Cassim, you agree?
Yeah.
Aaron?
Yes, because it doesn't matter that they used 8 instead of 7 because the 7 is the tournament. I think what's important is that they committed to the time that they set out, and that's, I would agree with 4.
Aaron, talking about commitment.
I don't know why that's a comment, but okay.
I'm guessing he's making a joke about something only he can see in his room. So,
well, I have a bottle of commitment right here.
There we go. How do you guys not get that?
How?
All right, and last but not least, derptitude. So, Nick, derptitude, I think, probably encompasses your forgetting that Ozzian has two parts to his feet. That sounds pretty derpy.
That's a derp. That's a major derp. It's a huge derp. I mean, like, it didn't obviously have a major effect on the game, the game's outcome, but it's a big deal, you know, and in like, you know, in a bigger slog fest, if his list didn't have just one model worth 20 points in it, then it would have been a big fucking deal. You know what I mean? Like, don't want to be losing 6 infantry that should not have died kind of thing. And Holt, you know, his guns are clutch, man. Like, you know, a couple of the Rat 8 hand cannons are sweet.
Yeah.
So like, I lost him. I lost a bunch of other stuff. Like, it was bad. You know, like, I should not have lost that shit. So.
His feat applies defensively to non-faction models as well.
I'm not sure about that. Maybe not.
But either way, you did still lose a bunch of stuff that you shouldn't have lost. So I think that's a derp too in and of itself. But other than that, I don't really think you made any major mistakes. Nothing particularly derpy comes to mind, at least. You didn't run out of kill box, or if you did, nobody noticed. You know, you didn't.
Well, I think that should be a derp.
Yeah. Yes, forgetting the kill box? Maybe.
I guess. It didn't affect anything, though. I mean,
you also didn't charge your Banshee at a group of infantry and then only kill one of them after using all your focus. You know. Just saying. Hypothetically speaking. What do you think, Cassim? Any derps you noticed?
Other than the feet? Not really. Like, other than the Stormfalls being a little bit far back. But
yeah. Aaron, what do you think? So, Aaron, what do you think? 2?
Well, we've already mentioned the feet. I do think that not being aware of killbox is potentially disastrous.
It could have been.
This is weird because both Cassim and Nick forgot it.
But I mean, just like every time we play killbox.
Yeah.
But I mean, in a tournament scenario, or say the game that I actually beat Morgul because of killbox. If one party forgets and the other remembers, then the other party is, you know, outside of the kill box. I mean, that's bad news.
That's massive. Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal.
But again, it didn't really come into play, but I do think it should be brought up as a derp. And did you roll, command check for when Holt died?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was on the ball with that shit this game. I mean, we often forget stuff like that, but I was totally on the ball with all my command checks this game.
It didn't get brought up, and
true. Yeah, we didn't mention it.
Thought to ask.
Cool. All right. Well, congratulations, Nick. Let's move on to Cassim. So we'll start with Cassim's feet use. Nick, you're on the receiving end of it. How did you feel Cassim used his feet?
You know, I mean, it was good feet use. There was only 2 models on the table that it was going to affect, the Banshee and Ozzian.
Right.
You know, he took them basically out of the game for a turn. In order to do it, he had to be dangerously close, but at the same time, you know, nothing could really threaten him. So, you know, I think it was a good use. Now the only problem with it is that he didn't really use it with any purpose.
Right.
All it really did was take my guys out of the game for a turn. it might have been used to much better effect if, like, he had used it in order to set up something big. I don't know what he could have done, but, I mean, I just think that there must have been something he could have done.
Well, I pretty much just use it to make, because I think Banshee might have been in charging range of the Mammoth, and I didn't want that to happen.
Right.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. That's valid.
That's a legitimate use, yeah.
Yeah, so you used it just basically defensively so that the Banshee couldn't kill your Mammoth. I mean, that's not a bad use.
Yeah. Now, okay, so from my perspective, it was a solid feat use. You know, I'd push for a 4 because it really got mileage out of it. But Kasim, I think you really need to hit Ossian, I think, 3 times in order to win the game on the turn you popped your feat. And
yeah.
You didn't. And unfortunately, because, you know, you're face to face with the Banshee, you know, whatever, he can't use focus. But if you had just gotten a couple attacks on Ossian, just a couple, this game was yours. Like, you had it in the bag, because Morgul has that 1 point of damage attack thing. He gets 2 attacks per fury he spends. He's a 6 fury warcaster, so that's 8 points of damage you can do in a single turn. I'm almost positive Nick didn't know that, which means that if you could get Ossian to the point where 8 attacks would kill him, you had the game.
You are positively wrong.
Ooh.
Just so you know.
How do you figure it out?
I knew it.
he knew it, and Morgul can get off 14 attacks.
14 attacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, you spend 1 fury and you get 2 attacks.
Oh, and he's a focus, a fury 7?
He's fury 5, but he can abuse 1 fury off, or not. He can torment a fury off a beast each turn.
Oh, okay.
So he can go up to fury 6.
So 12 attacks plus. Yeah.
Plus his initial 2.
Plus his initial 2. And how many boxes is Ossian?
15.
Yeah.
15 or 16?
But either way, you had to.
Hit him. 16.
Yeah, so you had to hit him twice.
So there's basically no way that he could kill me in a turn. He could try to roll dice on the first couple attacks, and if he got more than like 4 damage on me, then he could do it almost definitely.
Well, I always roll the dice. It's only when I fail to exceed the armor, it does the auto.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you had to pick.
No.
Okay.
It's not sniper.
See, that's when I was thinking of YOLOing there, I was thinking I could get him off on a charge because of the way I went around the rifleman.
Yep.
And possibly with the charge.
Do a couple points of damage.
But he was like at, armor 22, I think.
Yeah.
At
that point. Yeah. So 22 against 9, dice minus 13.
And, the way I was rolling dice.
Yeah.
This game.
Well, you would have needed to roll a 15 to confirm the effort.
Yeah, so without rolling that 15 on the charge attack, there's no way he could possibly have done it.
Right,
yeah.
Which is why I'm saying that on the turn you popped your feet, if you had been able to hit Ossian twice.
Oh, well, before the feet turn, okay. Yeah. Or sorry,
second turn.
Yeah.
So on the turn you popped your feet, if you had hit Ossian twice, you had the game. But because you didn't get Ossian to that point. Because at that point, you know, Ossian, his only option is to run. So.
Yeah, it's still 7 to hit, which. For me, on that game,
sevens
touché,
are pretty.
Touche.
Yeah, and he would actually have to hit them all.
He would have to
hit them all.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Rolling 7, 14 times in a row, not as easy as you'd think.
Statistically, no. Almost impossible.
Yeah.
Almost. Because the odds of hitting a 7 on 2-6 is about 50%, and doing that 14 times, you're talking about like 1 in 1,000.
Power 15, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Okay, so I think this was probably a feat use 4. You know, it was solid, it was good, just nothing miraculous about it. Aaron, agreement, disagreement?
Yeah, it was good defensive feat.
Yeah. Nick?
It was well used defensively. The only thing is, if the reason he did it was to prevent the Mammoth from dying, he might have just gone back to stay, like, he could have also done it from beside the Mammoth.
Right. Because
that way, if the Banshee charged in, it wouldn't be able to spend focus when it got there.
Right.
But, I mean, it still worked.
Yeah, no question. Okay, moving right along to tactics. Why don't we start with you, Aaron? How did you feel about Kasim's tactical performance?
Sorry, can I jump in for just 1 second? I got up my calculator. 0.5 to the 14th power is, 0.006% chance of happening.
0.006.
Percent,
so...
yeah.
Fucking
So that's 1 in 600,000 odds, more or less. That's impressive.
Correct.
Yes. So, you know, 599,999 games to go, Kasim. You'll be fine. Okay, so Aaron, how'd you feel about Kasim's tactical performance?
There was a few questionable things, definitely. It is a bit tricky with the field being as barren as it is, and also having as few models as Chasm had.
Right.
He did say that he was going to use the mammoth as a gigantic pick to contest the flag, which
yep,
he did.
Yep, he did.
He really threw away that gladiator.
Yeah.
The payoff was dice.
I got out tactic there.
part of that was dice, but it wasn't just that. I mean, just the fact that when he charged in, the most he could possibly have killed if he'd hit everything was just two halberdiers. Right. So really, the best case scenario was that he kills two halberdiers and then has a very good chance of losing his gladiator. So I think that was a pretty bad move.
Well, with admonition and you not having any purify, you know, I understand Kasim's perspective that an average player, which most of the time we are not normally average good, we're normally worse. An average player would not be able to kill an admonition gladiator because you have to be really kind of lucky or place your models very, very particularly in order to make sure that the guy can't get away. Yeah. So he's not wrong for attempting it. Now, that being stated, he did overextend. He overextended it. He had to keep it in such a way that that 3-inch move would get him out of the Banshee's charge range, which he didn't. Such is life. Nick, how did you feel about Kasim's tactics?
Yeah, I mean, except for the couple questionable things like the gladiator, I think that was it, actually.
So, we think you make a solid 3?
Yeah, I thought 3 is fine, yeah.
One thing it should be pointed out, I'm not really sure if this fits into tactics, but it does to an extent. If you're bringing a gargantuan at 35 points, I cannot stress enough how important it is to have a unit of screening anythings in front of the gargantuan to keep it alive. Because at 50 points, you know, you can lose a colossal and it not be crippling to your game. But at 35, forget it. And in this list, if you're, you know, if you're really heart set on this, Kasim, run your beast handlers in front of the mammoth.
Well, he didn't really have much melee threat.
Yeah, I mean, like, in this case, I mean, in general, I think what Mark's saying is correct. But against Ozzyan, he doesn't care. He shoots off the table. Yeah.
Right, but
and even then I lose my support.
But in this case, keep in mind that the final blows that killed the mammoth were your halberdiers. And the halberdier charge, you know, certainly helped with that. So even being able to deny that, just those couple points of damage, if you can keep your mammoth on one hit point for one more turn, is much better than having it dead, obviously. So anyways, just a friendly piece of advice moving forward. Yeah. Aaron, for the record, you know, has the same problem when he's running his Conquest, because you want to get it up into smashing things. It's such a powerful warjack. But at the same time, you know, if your enemy gets to it first, it's almost wasted point. Okay, so scenario. Are we thinking an unconscious 2 here? He did say the word scenario.
Wait, so what did we give me for this?
You got a 2.
Yeah. I had some criticisms, actually, in that there was a couple times when Kasim really could have gone for some points but didn't.
Ah.
We're just like, you know, there were times when, you know, I had 3 halberdiers near his flag, but they really shouldn't have been that hard to kill.
Right.
There was at least one turn where he could have, you know, made sure he killed those guys and then dominated that flag. That it necessarily would have been the best thing. It's just a little thing. I mean, he could have gone for points, but he didn't. He chose not to. I mean,
interesting.
It's not a big deal.
No, that's a good observation. Aaron, how do you feel about the scenario?
Well, just to that point, I mean, would that have been killing those 3 halberdiers to get that one control point? Would that have been a better payoff than taking shots that may potentially kill or hit at least more units
on the feature? On the feature, no question.
I'm not suggesting he uses the mammoth to do that. I'm suggesting that he uses like the 6 support models behind the mammoth to do it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's probably a fair point. I would say 2.
All right, Kasim, how do you feel about it?
Despite the fact you said scenario.
I'd say that was fine. I was. Well, I don't. I think. For me, this is more of a luck thing, because, like, there wasn't really any way for me to really focus on the scenario without really screwing myself over at that point.
Sorry, Nick, what was that?
Not enough models, probably.
Not enough models, yeah.
Well, yeah, I got pretty bad deviations and stuff.
That as well, yeah. It certainly didn't help. Okay.
I think most scenarios at 35 points are really hard, but I mean, it's even harder when you have a 35 point list that has a colossal in it.
And you know, it's really an interesting dichotomy, because on the one hand, if you're playing time turns, you want to run, you know, quick, efficient lists. On the other hand, if you're running quick, efficient lists, you probably don't have a lot of models to contest scenario and stuff. So I think Nick's probably got the right of it, where run more models, but just practice the snot out of them so you can get very unconscious with your activations. Because that really helps. So, luck. We know your luck was bad, Kasim. How bad was it? Are we talking a one zone, or are we talking a, you know, a merely awful two?
If it was bad luck, I would say five. Like, my AoEs weren't hitting anything, and when I was hitting stuff on average dice, I wasn't killing them.
Nick, are you in agreement?
Now, his deviations weren't that bad. He got some good ones, he got some bad ones. They were pretty average. But his rolls, he could not find a seven, like, on a map.
On a map of Sevensville, downtown. Aaron, you think a one is okay? Is it justified?
Yeah. Those deviations were, there were some pretty bad ones, given how target rich the field was.
The environment was, yes.
But definitely the kicker is the horrendous rolls.
Yeah, no question.
So, like, Morgul missed a halberder on a seven roll.
Yeah. And the gladiator missing three attacks in a row. The charge attack was obvious.
Understandable.
I mean, yes. Probably going to miss his charge attack because there's set defense.
Yeah.
But then after that, you know, he needed sixes to hit? I forget now. Anyway.
He needed five
sevens.
Yeah.
Oh, five.
He's mad eight.
Oh, he was whipped or something, right?
Yeah.
No, he's always, oh, the gladiator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, gladiator's mat six, so he needed a seven or a six to hit.
Yeah. Whatever. So,
missing two in a row, it hurts. It hurts, man. I feel the pain.
Yeah, no question. All right, Kasim, how'd you do for time use?
I think I did pretty good.
Did you clock out at any point?
There's only that one turn where I was, I was just doing my beast handler, which is the only thing left.
Right.
So that one turn he just clocked out on the very last activation, and we just finished it. It basically just puts Fury off, nothing big.
I was in general just walking around like, oh, you know what, I'll leave my clock running while I grab these templates from over here.
Well, basically he was getting cocky because he had such a low mal count.
Yes.
He just didn't give a shit anymore. It just goes to show that, you know, you still got to be on your game, even if you have a low mod count.
Yeah, no question. All right, and last but not least, derptitude. Why don't we start with you, Nick? Any derps you noticed from your opponent?
I don't know if this counts as a derp or not, but, you know, throwing with the gladiator is a big deal.
That's a derp.
I'd say I got more out tactic on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I suppose.
Okay, fair enough. Aaron, any derps that you happen to notice?
No, I think I wouldn't even say the gladiator is a derp. The gladiator is just wouldn't even want to say really a poor decision, but it probably was.
It
was just that Kasim didn't expect me to have a way to deal with an admonition gladiator, right. And it turned out that I did.
So it's more. It's
I
more
just didn't think you'd do that.
Yeah, it's more overconfidence than it is derptitude. As a Menoth player with Enliven, you know, it's nice as a fallback, but you really shouldn't count on it.
So. Well, really, what it should do against a good player is just make them have to deal with it. So it makes their activations less optimal because they need to deal with this ability you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Relying on it as like a gotcha is not a healthy tactic for a turn.
Excellent. Very well put. The only derp I might argue for is that I think you may have overextended Morgul because really, as Nick pointed out, you know, you used his feat defensively and you used it well, but you didn't really get anything out of it except for... No, you didn't really get anything out of it. A minor annoyance.
It was really just a turn where my Banshee and Ozzy couldn't contribute. So that is something. It's not nothing.
Yes.
It's not very much.
It's not very much. It may have been better to save it for a turn when Ozzy and, you know, wasn't camping full stack of Fury already and you could get, a charge off Morgul on him or something like that. But again, we're talking, you know, minor things. I think you played a solid game overall, Kasim, to be honest.
Well, Ozzyan would always have that full stack of focus because he replenishes. Well,
on the next turn, yes.
Yeah.
But if he didn't have the full stack and you managed to charge Morgul in and get a couple attacks off, then you pop your feet. Now it doesn't matter if he's camping full stack because you just have to hit him a bunch of times. Although this game, it wouldn't have happened anyway. So. Whatever. Okay, so Nick, are we talking a derp one just for like the minor stuff? Are we saying like a solid
honestly,
zero?
Honestly, there was never a point in the game where Kasim was like, oops. You know what I mean? He never really made a mistake.
Well, it isn't really a derp, but I really should have had my Raider in the middle because he could have been taking pot shots at the Banshee because he has burst fire, which puts him at a PAL 14.
That's respectable.
That's really the only derp I could think of other than,
I think a lot of the things that we brought up are more tactics.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry, Cassim. I'm afraid I'm going to have to give you a derp zero.
And I think we should downgrade his tactics.
Yeah, good point. All right. If you hit a derp zero, your tactics are also going down to a two. Unless they're already at a two, then they're a one.
No, we gave him a three, but I think we should probably make that a two.
All right, two it is.
Yeah, zero derp, two tactics.
So, that's the game. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thanks, guys, for playing and talking about it. So before we sign off, let's talk a little bit about painting tables. Now, I used to ask ironically, but now I can ask honestly. Cassim, what are you painting these days?
I still haven't touched anything since Karn.
Oh, I was so looking forward to you being like, no, I painted all this stuff. Fair enough. What about you, Aaron? What do you got on the table?
I'm still slowly going through the KASV. As you can tell from the pictures, I haven't touched the Mammoth. Yeah, I've kind of just, since work started up, I've just been exhausted every day, and all I want to do is eat and then go right to bed.
I totally respect that, dude.
But
also, the longer you take to paint your KASV Assassins, the happier I am. So, you know, take your time. Take your time. No, sir.
Okay, well, I'm going to use that as incentive.
Fair enough. What about you, Nick? What are you painting?
Right now I'm just kind of finishing up. I bought a squad for the Mercs tabletop game. And I bought the CCC squad, which are cool-looking yellow dudes. They're kind of neat. And so they are almost done. And I've also almost finished my one test Legion Beast. I was painting a magnetized heavy kit, and it's basically done. I just need to do the base. That's what I'm doing.
Excellent. I also bought a starter kit for Mercs. I bought the Kaizai Waza, the Japanese in this universe, and they're coming along-ish. It's interesting to be painting something that's not steampunk.
It was a very refreshing change, actually, to paint something kind of like near future.
Yeah. But by the same token, I'm really looking forward to getting my Bastions finished, and they're coming along pretty well, actually. Especially if you compare them to how long my Errants took. The Bastions are coming along at a fair clip. I really want to have all of my models for the tournament at least semi-painted, like no primed models only. And since I haven't really narrowed down my lists yet, that means I have to finish my Bastions quick so I can move on to whatever I need to paint next. Okay. So that's it for us this week. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say to sign off?
Thank you for listening to Common Smite, and remember to keep calm and hail Hydra.